To introduce our ready theme today, I have found some of the worst bread jokes for you to enjoy. It may not be the right word. I went to the Indian market to get bread, but they had naan. The worst piece of bread I ever tried was in Germany. It was gluten-free. I can't take my dog to the park because all the ducks keep trying to bite him. It's my fault for getting one that's pure bread. I went to a zoo and there was a baguette in a cage. The keeper said it was bred in captivity. Two slices of bread are competing to see who would stay fresh the longest. It ended in a stalemate. And finally, I finished off the last of the traditional German Christmas fruit bread late last night. Now my wife is telling everyone it was stolen. In last week's sermon, Lorraine was telling us about Jesus explaining about living water to a Samaritan woman. And this week we look at when he tells a large group of people about how he is the bread of life. So we've just come from the telling of the feeding of the 5,000. That's the part at the beginning of this chapter. And the crowds, or at least part of the crowd, on finding Jesus has left, where he was did the miracle of the 5,000, they follow him back to the town of Capernaum. And you probably remember previously that Jesus has made Capernaum his base during his three-year ministry in John's Gospel. It's a small town, and it's on the other side of the lake to where he did the feeding of the 5,000. So not too far away. And the crowds found him. And when they find Jesus, the crowd begins rattling off these questions to Jesus. When did you get here? Will you give us a sign? What will you do? And Jesus, well, he wants to get across his message to the people, as he always does. The first question, when did you get here? He ignores, he knows it's not important. And he moves them into what he wants them to know. The first section of our reading that Brenda read is Jesus seems annoyed with how the crowds have reacted to the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus calls them out on this. He says, "You've come to me because your bellies are empty." Jesus is frustrated here. The people have totally missed the point. Jesus has already given them a sign, the feeding of the 5,000, but they don't have faith and they don't understand. Jesus tries again, and this is where he uses the example of bread and hunger as his analogy. He wants to make it clear that he isn't there to give them actual bread. He's done that already. He's there to give them spiritual sustenance that will lead them to eternal life. In every religion at the time, and indeed today as well, the follower of any God had to earn their reward, any reward they got from their God. So it's not surprising that this group of followers, seemingly confused by what Jesus is teaching them, their question to Jesus is, what do we have to do? What's our part of the bargain? They were looking for salvation by their own effort. And Jesus drops a bombshell. He says, you don't have to do anything. Just believe in me. The only route to salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. And now a question comes from the crowd, proving they still don't get it. It's pointed out to Jesus that God's people were given manna to eat way back in the past. The Jewish expectation is that when the Messiah came, this limitless food supply would happen again. So again, they're thinking from their stomachs. You gave us bread yesterday, the crowd is saying. Now give us a permanent supply. That was great yesterday. Where's the bread today? So Jesus tries again. He says, you don't need manna. You need me. He says, I am the manna, the bread that you need. What the people are doing here is they're upping the ante. You gave us bread. If you want us to believe what you say, give us holy bread. Not our ordinary bread. You managed to do that miracle with the bread that we get every single day of our lives. Where's the special bread? The bread from heaven, the manna. And again, Jesus points out that is not what you need. The manna was given for a short time of need. What Jesus gives is ongoing. And of course, you've probably spotted that this scripture has parallels with John's account of the woman at the well. Jesus' offer of living water to the woman is there, but in John's gospel, her mind is on not having to visit the well every day. And here, the people's mind is still on free bread. Yet, you guessed it. They still don't get it. I can imagine Jesus taking a deep breath at this point before he tries a final time to persuade them. He makes it absolutely clear, I, Jesus, is the bread of life. An emphatic statement, an appeal. Jesus is saying, come to me. In other words, move away from your old life and join me in the new. But they don't believe. It's the same today. The reality is that people are happy in their sin. It takes a movement of God for people to believe. That's why Jesus says effectively, you don't believe, but others, they will. And they will rise with me on the last day. Jesus' emphasis throughout this conversation has been on eternal life. And don't miss this point. The salvation Christ gives is final. It's not based on us holding on to Christ, but on Christ holding on to us. But our acceptance of Christ is the only way to eternal life. After the bit of scripture that we've read today, the chapter carries on, and we see many of this, that John calls, wider group of disciples that have followed Jesus beyond the 12 disciples, a sort of larger group. Well, we see, he says, a large number of them abandoning Jesus. They just couldn't get this teaching. But I'll not leave you with that thought. It gives us pause for thought. Not even Jesus could bring everyone to faith. Some people simply can't accept his gift of salvation and eternal life that it brings. But others will. Others did understand what Jesus was saying. What he meant when he declared himself the bread of life. So it is up to us to continue to tell folks of this life-giving Jesus who holds on to us faithfully. Amen.
Amen.